Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, January 29th. A critical deadline is looming for the state of Arizona on Thursday. By then, the state must have a drought mitigation plan for the Colorado River in place, or the federal government is going to step in and write one for them. This is important because all six other states and 40 million people that rely on the river, including Colorado, are already facing water shortages. From H2O Radio, Jamie Sudler and Franny Halpern have the story.
A critical deadline looms for about 40 million people who rely on the Colorado River for drinking water and irrigation. The Bureau of Reclamation has warned the seven basin states that if they cannot reach an agreement by this coming Thursday on how to share looming water shortages, then the federal government will step in and do it for them.
In an interview with the Arizona Daily Star, a water expert warned that if an agreement is not reached, it would mean chaos on the river. With no agreement, the state of Arizona would potentially be the biggest loser, and many farmers south of Phoenix would likely take the largest hit.
The worst case scenario with no deal? Federal authorities could impose conservation plans more draconian than those the states have considered. The other result of no agreement would be uncertainty, which limits water managers' ability to plan.
The main obstacle toward getting a seven-state agreement has been in Arizona, where proposals for a drought contingency plan have to be approved in the legislature.
Last week, there was positive movement by the Central Arizona Project that supports legislation for a drought contingency plan. But as of Friday, no bills had been introduced in the state legislature and no hearings had been set, even though January 31st is coming quickly.
To date, all of the states in the Upper Basin, Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, and Wyoming, have developed contingency plans. In the Lower Basin, Nevada has done so, as has the Southern California Metropolitan Water District. But Arizona and two major water districts in Southern California have not.
And in a story about a local river, citizens concerned with restoring habitat along the Crystal River are pooling resources to make it happen, but some worry that further intervention could cause more harm. For Connecting the Drops, KDNK's Raleigh Burley reports.
The Crystal River, winding from the mountains above Marble, Colorado, to its confluence with the Roaring Fork River north of Carbondale, is naturally confined by a narrow valley corridor. In the past century, however, this river has been further constricted by a railroad on one side and later Highway 133 on the other. Glancing along the banks of the Crystal River, one notices some of the most exotic riprap in the world. Riprapping is the piling of stone along the shores of a body of water to prevent erosion. This technique was used heavily to protect the Crystal River Railroad, transporting large blocks of pristine white marble from the Elk Mountains. Because marble was so abundant, flawed pieces were dumped alongside the tracks to keep the railroad grade from being eaten away by the river. A consequence of this action has been the loss of riparian habitat.
The Crystal has, for much of its length, the highway on one side and the old railroad grade on the other side. And so what that's done is, in many cases, confined the Crystal. And of course, rivers like to meander across the floodplain. Their meanders are one way that the river has to dissipate energy. And when the river can't do that, then it has to dissipate energy in other ways. And so it downcuts.
Dr. John Emmerich, a retired professor of environmental science and engineering from the Colorado School of Mines, is a member of the Crystal River Restoration Steering Committee. At a workshop in October, he joined government workers, private consultants, intrigued citizens, and funding partners to look at what could be done to enhance riparian habitat on the river.
What my concept of quote-unquote restoration is really enhancing existing wildlife habitat or enhancing existing stream habitat so that it's better than what we have now.
A coordinating entity for this initiative is the Roaring Fork Conservancy, a watershed education and advocacy organization that published a Crystal River management plan in 2016. Rick LaFaro, executive director for the Roaring Fork Conservancy, describes riparian habitat as such.
Riparian habitat is the green ribbon of life that runs along all streams and rivers everywhere. Here in the West, in the Roaring Fork Valley, it's pretty easy to see that difference between the arid hillsides that you might have on either side of the valley and the very vibrant green ribbon of life. So it's all that habitat that's associated with rivers and streams and wetlands.
In addition to improving wildlife habitat, Dr. Emmerich says that restoring the historic floodplains of the Crystal River could also improve year-round stream flows during periods of drought.
When a river has the opportunity to migrate back and forth across its entire floodplain, there are a lot of soils that get wetted back there. What that wetting of these floodplain soils does is it actually stores water. That serves to relieve some of the low flow problems that we see in years such as we've had this year.
2018 was a dismal year for the Crystal, with flows so low that a complete voluntary fishing closure was enacted by Colorado Parks and Wildlife from mid-July through mid-October. However, not everyone is on board with restoration efforts. Some question the value of further intervention.
Is water within us and around us a continuous life-sustaining circle? Are there any concerns about how life-sustaining qualities of our river have changed? Are indicator species decreasing in numbers? Are the processes and consequences of intervention asking to be clarified and understood for their impact on future generations before further river activity is undertaken?
The author of this statement asked to remain anonymous. For his part, Dr. Emmerich recognizes that the Crystal River Restoration Steering Committee will need to review all available data about habitat quality and choose carefully the area where initial restoration could set an example.
We have to know the most effective use of what's probably going to be a lot of money required to do this thing on a watershed-wide basis. So we have to know what areas will give us the biggest bang for the buck, and also things that would serve as examples to people and get some that may not be initially very excited about doing restoration on their property, for example, to become excited about what the possibilities might be. The more we can allow the river to naturally meander across its historical floodplain, the better it's going to be for everybody that's involved.
For Connecting the Drops, I'm Raleigh Burley.
Connecting the Drops is a collaboration between Rocky Mountain Community Radio Stations and Water Education Colorado. Find out more at watereducationcolorado.org. Support is provided by CoBank, which provides financing solutions for rural water systems. Find out more at cobank.com.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, January 29th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.